guest today is Ido Flatto. How are you doing, Ido?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you.
Where are you from?
I'm from Israel.
I actually knew that.
Yeah.
What do you do?
That's a trick question. Basically, I'm a consultant, an architect, a trainer, a book author, and a course author.
How many books?
Yeah. One and a half.
What's the published one?
The published one is a book called Pro.NET Performance, which I wrote together with two other architects from the company I work for, Cello Group. And their names are Sasha Goldstein, who is the CTO of a company, and another consultant from a company called Dima Zobalev.
Who published that?
It's an A-Press.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was impressed. You're here at Dev Connections, and I did two talks, and I'm tired. And you did how many? You did a whole workshop?
I did a workshop on Monday, three talks yesterday, and one talk today.
Wow.
Yeah, I think
I'm... And I didn't fly from Israel either.
I flew here on Saturday, so I had enough time to relax and get my things together. But yeah, four talks are a lot, and if you add a workshop on top of that, then that's a lot. I think I'm the speaker with the most sessions in this conference.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you have a little bit of energy left to be on my show.
A bit. Yeah, I'm tired.
let's talk about... I know one of your sessions was on Fiddler. Now, we've never really talked about Fiddler on the show, although it's a tool that I really like a lot. In fact, I used it in my session. I did a web API session, and I used it in there. Tell me about Fiddler.
Well, Fiddler, some people think that Fiddler is basically an HTTP sniffer. They can use it to watch the HTTP traffic they have between their clients and their server, whether the clients are web browsers or just .NET applications. But Fiddler is more than that. Fiddler is what is called a web debugger, because other than just showing you the traffic, it allows you to manipulate the traffic. It allows you to create traffic out of thin air. It allows you to mimic servers. You can record a server with Fiddler and then shut that server down and let Fiddler respond with those requests, with those responses for the requests. It can do a lot more than that. It can show you not only the data as a stream of bytes, it can show the data as you would have seen it in the browser. So if you look at images, you would have seen the images. If it's an HTML file, you can see the representation in the browser, the rendered HTML. If it's a JSON content, you can see it as a hierarchy of objects. So it's really a very useful tool to figure out first what is going on the wire, the HTTP requests, the responses, but also to analyze things, to measure performance, to debug your applications. It's a must-have tool for every web debugger, every web developer.
Well, it's a lot of different. It's wearing a lot of different hats, as we say in this country.
Yeah,
And you're using it. Tell me about some of the things that you're using it in the real world.
First of all, I'm using it to assist customers to find problems with their web applications, problems that have to do with slow loading web applications. For example, I use it to check the size of images and to check if images have metadata in them which increase the size for no reason. I check to see if they have minified JavaScript files and if they have minified HTML files. I check if the content is compressed or not, if it's cached properly. So that's only for performance. I use it a lot when I debug web services. I write web API services and WCF services, and I use it to reissue requests instead of opening the client again and again.
So there's a little bit of difference. So the first part you're talking about, you're basically using it kind of as a passive tool. You're just saying, turn it on, show me the traffic, and I'll look at it and I'll analyze it.
Right.
And now you're talking about you're doing something active with it. You're actually going to create a request to call
because,
a web service.
Because I said before, Fiddler is more than just able to watch the traffic. It's able to generate traffic. So if I'm debugging a web service and to create a call to the web service, I need to go through a client application, insert some data in it, press next a couple of times, and then hit the submit button, and something is going wrong on the service and I need to fix the bug and do it all over again. I don't want to open my client application for that and do it all over again. So I just grab that request from Fiddler and ask Fiddler to reissue the request, so I will automatically get the request sent to the server.
That's a nice pattern. So you can capture it while you're hitting next.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that code of the of your application, it's going to make the call to the web request. And now you have a recording of it. You can just copy it
and
paste it into the execute window.
And that's great if I'm a web developer and I'm debugging my service. But also it's great for testers. When a test engineer takes an application and tests it, they can record those sessions, those connections to the server. And if they find a bug, they can have more than just a screenshot of the error message that they see in the client application. They can actually have the traffic, so they can save it in a file, send it to the developer, so they can go ahead and check the code, check the requests, and even reissue the same request to debug the server side.
Okay. Anything else you use it for?
Well, I actually had 2 days ago an issue with Azure Blob Storage that I needed to fill out. I don't know how much you know about Azure Blob Storage, but basically it's a file storage that's always online, always available, where you can send requests and get content back.
Right.
I used it in a client site to store video files.
Okay, and you were using the REST API to update and retrieve those videos?
Yeah, well, we're actually using simple browser requests to get the videos and play them inside the browser.
Okay.
And what we found out is that when we have a specific video type, it's actually an audio type, not a video type, of OGG, mm-hmm. And we try to download it using Firefox and view it inside Firefox, it doesn't show the duration of the audio file, because it needs to first download all the file, and the content length itself isn't enough because it doesn't know the bit rate of the audio file, so it can't calculate it. So only after it reads the entire file, it knows how long it is. And according to the documentation, you can actually add an HTTP header to the response that specifies the duration of the file. Now, problem is we need to test that. But Blob Storage doesn't support adding custom headers. So instead of creating an elaborate service that takes the entire Blob Storage response and sends it back to the client with the appropriate header, just open up Fiddler, intercepted the response from the Blob Storage, manually added an HTTP header with the duration just before sending back the content to the browser, to Firefox, hitting send to client, and Firefox showed me the duration. That's the way I was able to verify that it will actually work once Azure Blob Storage supports custom headers.
Oh, okay, so now you're still waiting for
that. So now I'm waiting for the Azure
team
to add that feature.
I'm not sure if that's on their roadmap or not.
Yeah. But at least I was able to check that in 2 seconds.
At least you know that
Fiddler. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was able to check it in 2 seconds with Fiddler instead of creating a new project, uploading it to Azure to grab all the information. Was a whole lot faster with
Fiddler. That's what I was doing in my demo. Was I wanted to call my web API methods with different verbs. It's kind of hard to use the browser to use post
to
and delete.
You need to create jQuery.
Even post is a little bit hard. You have to create a form, but put and delete, I don't know. You have to write some JavaScript to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a lot of work. Just type it into Fiddler.
Actually, the workshop that I did this week was a web API workshop with HTTP. So, yeah, I showed exactly the same thing. Doing GET request in a browser is easy. Just type the address in the address bar, and that's it. But how did you post in a web browser? How do you test those things? Instead of creating an HTML page with jQuery, just open up Fiddler.
It was a nice learning tool, because then I didn't have to explain what the JavaScript did as I was at the same time trying to teach them explain what web API did.
Yeah.
So I could isolate
those. No, ignore that jQuery. That's important right now.
Are you familiar with the history of Fiddler? It was an open source project, and now Telerik owns it, right?
It wasn't exactly an open source project. Fiddler was developed back, I think, in 2003 by a guy called Eric Lawrence, who was a Microsoft employee. He first developed it for, if not mistaken, for Office. He worked in the Office team, and they needed a tool to diagnose clipout. And from there on, he continued developing that tool, and he moved on to the IE team, and they used Fiddler to test stuff with IE while they were developing it. And I think it was a year ago when he actually sold Fiddler to Telerik.
Yeah, so he now works for Telerik.
So it wasn't an open source tool, it was a free tool that you can just download.
So it's not open source in the sense that you can't see the code of it.
Yeah, well, it's .NET, so you can't see the code.
So, he didn't take any contributions for it, but from the very beginning, he would share it with everyone else.
Right. It was a free tool.
And that's still true today.
And it's still true today. I hope it will also be like that.
Yeah, I haven't heard
future.
Any promises of that, but it's kind of hard to give something for free and then take it away.
There are a couple of examples for that, you know, in the history of .NET tools like Reflector.
And the day that they started charging for Reflector, I think Telerik released a free tool that did the same thing. So
yeah, I think it's called Just Decompile or something like that.
So maybe they'll be a little nicer to us.
I hope so. Because I like to talk about Fiddler all the time, and once I need to tell people, well, you need to pay in order to get that, then probably like me less.
Fiddler's got a lot of great tools in it. Are there things in it that you can add to it?
Well, first of all, Fiddler, as it ships, as you download it from the internet, you can actually add...
where do you download it from?
If I'm not mistaken, fiddler2.com.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can actually go to fiddler2.com. There's an add-on page where you can download add-ons to Fiddler. Add-ons, for example, there's a famous add-on called HTML Inspector, which allows you to pick an HTML response that you got from the server, and it will show you a pie graph showing you how much of that content is actual content, how much of it is white spaces, how much of it is the view state. So you can figure out if your page is well written or there's something that you can fix. And there are also other add-ins that you can install, such as Syntax View, which allows you to watch JavaScript with highlights. And of course, you can even create your own Fiddler plugins.
Oh, really?
So, for example, you just create a class library that contains a WinForm object, because Fiddler is based on WinForms.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you want to create a new inspector, a new way to watch content of files, you need to create a proper WinForm to display that content, and a class that actually takes the content from the pipeline and inserts it into your WinForms. So it's basically deriving from a class and implementing a WinForm.
I see.
I built such an inspector for a demo that allows you to take an XML content, show it hierarchically, just like the XML inspector in Fiddler, but it adds a small text box where you can type an XPath and actually locate content inside that XML code.
Oh, okay, that's very cool. So when I add up, when I create one of these plugins or these add-ons, how does that appear in the Fiddler interface? Does it pop up, or Fiddler is basically a bunch of tabs?
Yeah, well, basically. After you copy the DLL file into the Fiddler folder,
uh-huh.
it just loads up with Fiddler. So if it's an inspector, it will show up as a tab in Fiddler.
Uh-huh.
If it's a new menu, it will just show up as a menu.
Oh, I see.
You can add menus. You can add export and import functions to save it to your own file type. You can add interceptors that will change content, whether it's in the request or in the response. Depends on what you're doing.
Very cool. Do you... have an online presence?
You can actually, first of all, you can just Google me. I have a few recorded sessions on YouTube uh-huh. from previous conferences I attended. I have a blog, which is, it's a bit tricky. It's blogs.microsoft.co.il/blogs/IDOF. It's IDOF.
Okay, maybe we can create a tiny URL that'll point to that. I'll put that in the show notes.
I think I have one, but I forgot it.
Okay.
It appears in all
now
of my sessions.
Now you have two.
Yeah.
and you're heading back tomorrow, back home.
Yeah, tomorrow morning I'm heading back home, 20-hour flight. I'm home for 3 days, and then I'm heading again to a conference, this time a conference in London called Software Architect. I'm going to have a workshop about WCF, converting you to a WCF expert. And I'm going to have a session about the new features of WCF 4.5, .NET 4.5.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time here. Thank you,
Hugo. Thank you. So this was a great conference in Dev Connections. A lot of new technologies to learn about, a lot of new friends to make, and stay tuned for more technologyandfriends.com.